Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
We are in the fourth edition of the series, The Proving Ground. And weekends we are talking together on this topic, and then we're going out into our life groups, our small groups during the week. And I want to begin today just by reminding you what the proving ground is and the definition of the proving ground. The proving ground is a place where products or equipment, even talent, there's talent shows going on, you know, right now on television. And it's a place where talents are proven, or products are proven, or equipment, or theories are tested. That's basically, if you go to the proving ground in the dictionary, that's what you'll discover. And what we're talking about is that heaven has its own kind of proving ground. And that's what we are learning about, and that's what we're becoming familiar with. And if you don't have the book, The Proving Ground, I want to encourage you to grab this, because the truth is that you are either right now in a test, you are coming out of a test, or, good news is, you're on your way into one. And this just is a help to you to really understand what's going on at a deeper level than just realizing, man, it feels painful, I feel pressure, I feel trouble, I'm confused, to just get a whole different paradigm on the things that we go through in life. So we're going to begin in James chapter 1, verse 2, message version. It says, consider it a sheer gift, friends. Consider it a gift. Everybody shout gift. Yes. So the King James version says, count it all joy. Like the writer here is saying, like he leads out with, like, this is a good thing, folks, not a bad thing. Well, what is it? It's when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Like, don't bail on this. Don't walk away on this. Don't try to get out of it before it has done its work. Let it do its work so that you become mature, well-developed, not deficient in any way. And we've seen this over and over again in this study on the proving ground, is that the goal is always something better. Like, God's always taking us toward something better. And it's true again in this verse. It's repeating that when you're under pressure, when you're going through something, don't try to get out of it prematurely. Hang in there. Be strong. Keep your head up. Trust in the Lord. Let it do its work so that you become better than you are before you face this scenario in your life. You go down to verse 12 in the book of James, and it says, anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons loyally in love with God and the reward, and there it is again, the reward. There's a reward. There's always a reward on the other side of passing the test. Just like in school, you pass the test, you get promoted, right? When you go through the driver's test, you go through a test, and if you pass the test, you get your license. Life is that way, and it's spiritually. There's some things that we don't understand when we're going through it, but if we can get this perspective, we will realize that God's up to something good, and God is shaping us, forming us, developing something good, something better in our life. So your life is filled with opportunities known as the proving ground. I want to show you the graphic again today and have you look at the nine, what we call the nine tests that prove our personal potential. The nine tests that prove our personal potential. And today we're going to focus on the last three, the offense test, the test of time, and the lordship test. If you're ready, shout, I'm ready. The offense test. Has anybody noticed that we live in a highly sensitive, easily offended culture today? Has anybody noticed that, in fact, it's trendy to be offended? If you're not offended, our culture tells you that you should be. And you should let people know you're offended. Like hashtag speak out. That seems to be the big deal of the day. What's bothering you? Who treated you unfair? Who did something to you? And it seems like our culture wants to constantly talk about what offense they have in their life. But look at me, listen to me when I share this with you. Anybody can be offended. And the proving ground is a place where God's hoping that you and I will pass up opportunities to be offended. See, most people are looking for opportunities to be offended, but God's called us to pass up opportunities for offense in our lives. And I want to give you five reasons to not live offended. Five reasons. Number one, it's exhausting. It takes a lot out of you, mentally, physically, and emotionally. As you nurse it, curse it, rehearse it, you will be drained. Number two, it's distracting. It takes your focus off of the things that matter most, and it consumes your attention on what matters least. If you take offense into your system, it spreads like poison, and it impacts your life. The thing that maybe you haven't thought about is that offense is also contagious. And that's where number four comes in, is that if you live offended, you attract other offended people into your life. And the offense becomes the common ground. Man, I'm doing so good right now, and you're being so quiet right now. I just feel like I'm in the right spot, in the right place, talking real stuff on this weekend. I just pulled into your driveway. I got out, and I walked into your living room. Whether you wanted me in your home or not, I am here right now. I am here. There's some of you, God wants to help you right now. He wants to give you a paradigm shift. He wants you to understand that His Word is higher. He has a better way of life. You've lived around offended people. You have grown up around offended people. And offense has become a way of life for you. And that's not what God wants for you. God has something better for you. When you live offended, you attract other offended people. And it becomes like the alliance that you share. So just think about this. I already told you some things that reasons you don't want to be offended, but here's what happens. When you live offended, then you'll also attract people who are exhausting, distracted, and creating their own collateral damage. And number five, healthy people will start to avoid you. Hello. And some of you right now, you've been wondering, well, how come I got all these people around me with issues? Because you got issues. And how come those folks over there, it's like they don't want me around? Well, there you go. And there's nothing wrong with a man or woman guarding their heart. In fact, the Bible teaches us to guard our heart. Teaches us to not engage and have relationships and go to dinner with, you know, the Bible. A lot of people know about the mercy part of the Bible, the compassion part of the Bible. A lot of people don't realize that the Bible has wisdom in how we ought to select our friends and who we ought to spend our time with. The wise walk with the wise so they become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. And so healthy people are like, hey, God bless you, man. And they just keep walking. They wish you well. They want good things for you. But they know that they get around you, that stuff's going to get on them. Secondhand smoke. and they'll breathe it in and it'll be in their life. So make sure, boy, I just hope and pray. I'm talking about the test today, and I hope that some of you today, that you will not, you won't just be offended. You're offended right now, but I hope you'll actually take this list home. I hope you'll take this list home and say, God, help me. God, help me. It feels like it's so much in my DNA. It's who I am. I feel like I've got to stand up, and I've got to take up for myself. And what I'm trying to tell you is that if you choose to drink the poison, don't be surprised when it starts literally sabotaging and doing damage to your own soul and to your relationships and to your life. And in this series, and I'm going to refer to this and now I'm going to move on to the next step, but in the series, the one thing that I felt like I wanted everyone to hear, I'm talking about Don't Drink the Poison series, is that there's a difference in feeling offended and living offended. Feeling offended is when the cup is in front of you and you have an opportunity to either drink it, which is living offended, or you have an opportunity as you feel offended to just say no, 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 no. And what I want to confess to you, and this may surprise you, but this isn't about how spiritual you are, how much you love God. Many great people who love God have opportunities every week to drink the poison. And we all have opportunities all the time. I'm thinking right now of a couple of incidents in my own life that happened this week that I haven't got all the way through yet. I'm feeling offended. Hope that helps somebody humanize this. I'm feeling offended. And I feel like I would like to do certain things and take certain action. But I know that God has given me the power to pray my way through it and to push my way through it and to turn my attention away from it. And my goal is still the same. I want to live an unoffendable life. I said, I want to live an unoffendable life. I don't want to dwell on what kind of incident or what kind of situation and how that's just not right. I don't want to dwell on that to the damaging of my own destiny and my own family and my own ministry and my own future. And I'm talking about me hoping that you'll feel a little bit more comfortable being honest about you. Because you don't have the privilege of not feeling offended. We all feel offended. I said we all feel offended. But that doesn't mean we have to live offended. Come on, we can hold up our head high. And we can take it on. And we can declare in our lives, I am not going to live that life. I am not going to be that person. I am not going to be that person that is bitter and that person who is angry and that person who is struggling and that person who is mad at the world. Not me. I'm not going to be that person. Come on, let's give the Lord a good hand, can't we? He sets us free. He helps us. Amen? The eighth one is the test of time. Test of time. All you got to do is go to a family reunion or a class reunion to see that time affects people differently. Some people are like milk, and some people are like wine. Milk people get bitter with time, and wine people get better with time. Anybody want to get better with time? One of the things you can do is refer back to test number 7. Don't be offended. No, but really, you go to that event, that 20-year class reunion or whatever, and you look at that guy you had a crush on, and you think, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. There is a God. There is a God. Sheila and I were on a vacation. We had some time away. We were bored a few years ago. And she's always a bit ahead of me in technology. And so she was teaching me. This has been a while, but she was showing me, you know, Google search and Facebook and all of that, how it all worked and how the world is connected now. And we're having fun with it, and I was learning, and she's saying, yeah, like, you know, you can, like who do you know, like, that you'd like to see where they are? We'll see if they're on Facebook somewhere. They probably are, and, you know, and we would look up somebody and Google somebody, and so I got that bright idea, and I said, hey, how about we look for those guys that you used to date, like, before we got married? And let's check it out. Let's see where they are. And so she put in a name, and he came up. And I'm just telling you, to this day, it's one of the most rewarding things that I have ever done. Like, I just looked at them and read a little bit, and I'm like, yep, there you go, girl. There you go. Do another one. Let's do another one. You know that guy? You know that guy from Texas. Like, let's do that guy. Like, oh, yeah. And, of course, if she were talking right now, she would want to tell you what she said back to me, and that is, well, yeah, of course. If I had married them, they'd have a W and you'd have the L. But isn't it funny how, you know, in certain seasons of your life, like, you don't realize how time plays a part. Like, not everyone who's a friend in one season of your life will be a friend for life. But we think that, like, we write little cute letters out, and especially when you're in you know, junior high and high school, you just have this idea that you're friends forever. Like, and like, now some of you, you're like me, you haven't seen them since then. So what you like changes. You look back and you can't believe you actually wore those clothes. But time affects everybody in a different way. Let me tell you a little bit more about, before I move on, milk people. Milk people have a short lifespan of interest. They're bored really easy. And if that's you, like, hear me on this. That's your enemy. You don't want to let yourself be bored really easy. Milk people have a short lifespan of motivation, of confidence, of determination. Some of the things that will help you do well and pass the test of time are things like that. And so if you start well but you finish poor, then you're one of those people who wants to say, you know what? I want to finish strong. Like, I don't want to just be a good starter. I want to be a good finisher. And when boredom hits me, I'm going to find a way to not be boring. Like, a lot, you know, when children, just take notes, when you're a child, like, children start to be dependent on other things for their, you know, for their joy, their entertainment, to make life fun. And what happens is that as time goes on, like, people start to take that on in our culture, and we become dependent on things around us and people around us and everything around us, and, you know, make me happy. Well, the truth is that other people are not responsible for your happiness. So, you know, if you find yourself getting bored really easy, go today and look, stand in front of a mirror and introduce yourself to Mr. or Mrs. Boring. Like, they are in the, you're bored because you're boring. Okay, that went over really good. Like, you know I'm telling you the truth, right? The test of time. How many of you want to pass the test of time? You want to Come on, you want to be better, not bitter. You want to be stronger, not weaker. Come on, you want to finish strong in your life. Let me go to the last of the nine tests, and that is the Lordship test, the Lordship test. Some of what Scripture teaches us to do is counterintuitive. Have you found that to be true? Like you come into life with Jesus and becoming a Christian, and all of a sudden you start reading Scriptures or hearing teaching, and it's like, I don't know about that. That sounds inconvenient, and that's uncomfortable. Like, and it's just counterintuitive. And it's in those situations that we have the opportunity to go either our way or go God's way. So what I always try to remind myself, and maybe this will help some of you, you won't find your best life living your way. Like you won't find your best life following your own instincts. You need to have enough self-doubt in this area to know that you are flesh and blood, and humans are a disaster on their own. And that God gives us true north principles, that even in the moment, they may feel uncomfortable, feel inconvenient. You may not want to say you're sorry. You may not want to be the first one to humble yourself. You may not want to give like God teaches us to give in His Word and to put Him first. And those are things that you may not want to do. And before you rush to a conclusion, well, God, you know, God's not good to me. God wants me to do this, and God wants me to be that, and God wants me to do that, and I don't like that, and I don't want to. Before you rush to that conclusion, I want you to take a step back and think and realize and recognize God has my best interest in mind. And if I can pass the Lordship test over and over and over and over again, my life will be rewarded. My future will be better. Everything that I really desire in my heart, come on, those are the things that God will provide. Deuteronomy 28 talks about obedience, and it says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and follow His commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations on earth. And all these blessings, somebody shout all. Say it again, all. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey God. And I put a list up so that you could see it. The five blessings, I call it of Lordship. The blessing on your journey. So we're travelers, right? And we are traveling through life. The blessings on your journeys. The blessings on your children. It says there in Deuteronomy 28 that the fruit of your womb will be blessed. The blessing on your possessions, the crops of your land, the young of your, it just goes through this chapter, and the promises of God get laid out in front of us. I will bless you. I will bless you in your going and in your coming. I will bless your children. I'll put my hand of blessing on their life. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your possessions. Third thing. I'm going to bless your battles. Fourth thing, I'll put my blessing on you when you are in battle. If you're in a battle today, you are not alone. God is with you, and God is ready to fight for you. You might have to get your confidence back, and you might need to get battle ready. Maybe you've had your head down, and you don't have a weapon drawn and stuff like that. But if you do the right thing and you obey God and you put on the whole armor of God, you're going to win that battle that you're in, because God's blessing is on you in the battle. And the fifth one, the blessing on your finances. The Lord will send you a blessing on your barns, on everything that you put your hand to. And He will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground. The Lord will open up the heaven, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the works of your hands. How many of you know we serve a good God who wants to do good things? Last year, as we were getting ready to give in our legacy offering, I made a specific request of God. And because I continued to pray about it, I actually forgot that that was really the first time that I made this specific request. And it meant a lot to me. And this year, God answered that prayer for me. I want to remind our whole church family as we move toward the Legacy Weekend coming up in just a couple weeks that there's two things God loves. First of all, He loves a cheerful, generous giver. He loves it when we are cheerful in our giving. We are ready to give. We are eager to give. We are ready to put God first. And secondly, God loves it when we ask in faith for the things that we desire and need in our lives. Some people realize that God will supply all my need. They've heard that verse. But not everyone also knows that Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Like, in other words, it's not just that God wants to give you what He thinks you absolutely have to have. There's another place in Scripture where Jesus compared Himself to a good, or He compared the Heavenly Father to a good earthly father. And He taught this, and He said, hey, if your earthly father desires to give you good things, then how much more does your Heavenly Father? He was trying to get our minds wrapped around the idea and the understanding that we have a good, good Father. And that our Heavenly Father is not just interested in seeing us survive. He wants us to thrive. He wants to see our needs provided, but He also wants us to have the courage, like a little child that comes along and says, can I? Like, can I? And not afraid. I mean, like you've told your child, no, not today on some things, right? But they keep coming back because they know your heart. Like, they know. There's a yes in there somewhere. Like, somehow. Like, and that's how God wants us to approach Him. So we're asking the question, and our pastors have said it already today, and we're going to keep on saying it. What are you believing God for? What are you believing God for? What are you believing God for? What is your prayer request? Because Scripture teaches us to be specific with our prayer requests. So as we prepare our legacy offering, we also want to believe God together for the things that we desire, the things that we need in our life. And it could be the salvation of a family member, a prodigal son or daughter. It could be something that right now, job-wise, that you just need, you need something to change. You need a promotion. You need a different place to go. Maybe you don't even have a job. You're praying for a job. Maybe you've got debt. You're in over your head, and you need God to help you to overcome the debt in your life. It could be a physical healing. I don't know. We're wanting to put it all out there and encourage our entire church family. If you don't know right now what you're believing God for, we're asking you to think until you know. Consider until you know. And let's make this a season where we come boldly before God and we encourage other people to do the same with confidence, with faith. You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. We have not, and so you got to think sometimes, like what have I not been coming to God with that is available that God would want to answer this prayer in my life? So we're just creating a season here. Are you with me? And I'm asking you, church, let's not hesitate. When we go out to the lobbies or when you're coming in our lobbies, you'll see the opportunity there on the legacy wall. You'll see the card that you can pull down, you decide to give. You'll see a place where you can write down something you're believing God for. And here's what I'm asking you to do. As a church, I'm asking you to not hesitate. I'm asking you to not kind of circle around and be shy and backward and timid about this. Let's charge the wall. All right, let's go there and encourage others to do the same. And let's make our request known to God. Amen?
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select Give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.